It has jurisdiction to set a title, and that necessarily requires determining whether the proposal complies with the single subject requirement. And then third, if the board determines that it does have jurisdiction to set a title, then we'll proceed to work on setting the titles, typically using a staff-prepared draft, and staff drafts for each of the proposed measures today are on the table by the back door. We are, of course, not concerned with the merits of any proposal, but just with the setting of fair and accurate titles. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board, and anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. So with that, I'd like to turn to the agenda. We do have two items on our agenda for this morning. When we complete those two items, we'll recess until 2 p.m. and consider the other two items that are on today's agenda. So let's turn to 2010 number 45 healthcare choice. Mr. Caldera, you've had a prior version before us. It would be helpful if after you identify yourself for the record, it might be helpful to just explain how this measure is different from the prior measure. So go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Hobbs, and might I say that is a mighty fine haircut. I think in the future all men will be wearing just that style. I'm John Caldera. I'm the proponent for this measure, proposed ballot initiative 45. It is, after coming here with a couple weeks ago, I resubmitted the proposal as per your decision. The Office of Legislative Legal Services said they had no further questions and brought it here, and I'm here to ask you to grant the title.
It looked like there were a few minor changes, but I'm not sure that, I mean, I think the word contract was taken out and so forth, but was there anything really material that you want to point out?
The only thing that's different from what you saw 2 weeks ago is the word contract was taken out, and also under subsection 3, we added the word Colorado, any provision of Colorado law.
Any other questions for Mr. Caldera? If not, then let's turn to consideration of single subject requirement. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, so I don't have anyone else that I think would argue that the measure does not comply with the single subject requirement, so I'll turn it over to board discussion.
Before you do that, let me just remind the title board that 2 years ago you granted a single subject to something that was not quite identical to this, but it also had cross-state purchasing of insurance, health insurance in it. Granted that. So if consistency is a record, please keep that in mind.
Thank you for pointing that out. And how would you describe the single subject?
The single subject is quite simply that it is encompassing the issue of health care choice, that is a right of all Coloradans to be able to be free from being forced into a public or private health care plan, and also preserves their choice to be able to pay directly for legal services.
Discussion by the board? Seems to me it's a single subject. I don't have any reason at this point to believe that the subject is not, essentially as Mr. Caldera stated, that it has to do with health care choice. So.
I agree.
I guess I'll go ahead and make a motion, then the board find that the measure comprises a single subject, and then we proceed to set titles.
Second.
Further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff-prepared draft of the titles. Mr. Caldera, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
I have, and I find this to be the most bizarre part of the entire process. Composition by committee, and I hope you never write poetry or novels. such a way. The only suggestion that I have, just for economy of words, I guess I'm looking at the ballot title, the second paragraph. I guess it's basically the same. But you have here a staff draft in the second line, line 11, prohibiting the state from adopting or enforcing any state's any statute, regulation, resolution, or policy that requires a person to. And then you repeat the exact same thing on line 14 and 13, prohibiting the state from adopting any such regulation. I'm thinking that for an economy, you might be able to strike that entire second phrase since you said it previously. That I really don't have no sizable objections.
So with the first clause says prohibiting the state from adopting or enforcing any statute, regulation, resolution, etc. And then later on, prohibiting the state from adopting or enforcing any statute, regulation, or whatever. I don't, I'm trying to glean what the difference is or whether we can combine those. I think you're right.
Yeah, I just think that a semicolon would probably take care of it. I make the
a particular suggestion on how to do that?
Well, I think you could...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I think you could delete everything, essentially everything from prohibiting, the second prohibiting, through policy on the next line. And then put in an or. I guess you'd have to put back in an or, because then what you'd have is you have the first set of prohibitions against the state are against adopting any of these things that require people to participate in a plan. The second clause prohibits the state from adopting any of these things that deny, restrict, or penalize people from making direct payments. I don't think you can get rid of restricts, denies, restricts, or penalizes. I mean, you might be able to get rid of some of them. But to me, the part that's actually redundant is just prohibiting the state from adopting these things. The part that's a little bit different is what the state's prohibited from doing, and so I would say delete everything from prohibiting through policy and add an or before denies, or before that, sorry. And I think you would get rid of the semicolon after plan.
So then, and Ms. Gomez is showing that on the screen in the room. So then it would read, prohibiting the state from adopting or enforcing any statute, regulation, resolution, or policy that requires a person to participate in a public or private health insurance or coverage plan, or that denies, restricts, or penalizes the right or ability of a person to make or receive direct payments for lawful health care services. Seems to work, Mr. Caldera. Does that work?
I think so, yes.
I'll move that change then.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Mr. Caldera, did you have other suggestions?
I have no other suggestions.
I guess one that I'm wondering about in the first line, the expression of the single subject, which right now reads concerning the right of all persons to health care choice. I'm wondering about the of all persons, how necessary that is. I mean, would it, we just simply said concerning the right to health care choice, anything particularly significant about of all persons?
I think since in the first line of the amendment itself it says all persons shall have the right to health care choice, I can understand why the staff put in the right of all persons have health care choice. I prefer it in there. We wanted to make sure this was not for those people who might not be familiar that this is going into the state Bill of Rights, that this is all. It was written to express that all persons have that right.
Yeah. Aye. Mr. Garden?
One question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Caldera, the measure provides that no statute, regulation, resolution, or policy adopted or enforced by the state of Colorado's departments and agencies independently or at the instance of the United States. And in line two, it says prohibiting the state from adopting. So, for example, it doesn't say prohibiting the state independently or at the instance of the United States from adopting. Are you okay with the omission of independently or at the instance of the United States?
Actually, I think having independently or at the instance of the United States inside the ballot summary would be a more accurate description of it. I'd like to see that in there.
I'm wondering whether that would be necessary. I mean, if it's either independently or at the instance, I mean, if it one or the other, then I could see that would be say, significant. But since it's under all circumstances, I'm just wondering if it really adds anything to add that to the titles.
I would put it in there. I think it's significant in that, I mean, as a technical legal matter, maybe it's true that as written it includes both, but the title isn't supposed to be a technical legal document. And I think, I don't know, I think your average reader would be a little bit, would be unlikely to be thinking about reading the title as it is now, to be thinking about how this would affect something passed by the federal government. Now, whether in the end that would turn out to be material or not, as the person in charge of defending this, were it to pass, it would, I predict, be the most material in terms of generating litigation. And in that sense, it's material. So I think it would be, I'm not entirely sure I don't think it's necessarily inaccurate to leave it out, but I think it's better with it in there, I guess is what I'm saying. It gives information that I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily assume from just reading it as is.
Garden.
I think I agree with both of you. And I think that, but I think that since Mr. Caldera, it's his, the proponent's preference to have that language inserted at this point. I think for the sake of voting it up or down, I would offer that as an amendment on line two after state, inserting independently or at the instance of United States. Yes. And I would need a comma. I don't think so.
So you're not setting it off by commas.
Just no.
Prohibiting the state independently or at the instance of the United States from adopting or enforcing, etc.
Was that a motion?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. No. That motion carries 2-1. Any other suggested changes to the title? And it's understood, of course, that the any changes we adopt in the title in what's now lines 1 through 10, the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause, which is the same except that it's in the title in the form of a question.
Can I make just one comment?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to suggest changing the statement of the subject just to healthcare choice, to delete that whole, the right of all persons to. I don't feel strongly about it. I do think sometimes we make this harder on ourselves and on voters by trying to write that subject so narrowly. And I think healthcare choice would do what the single subject statement is supposed to do, which is just give people some idea of what they're looking at, and then they can read on if healthcare choice is something they're interested in. But we already talked about that part, so I'm not going to fight hard for it, but I just think that that would be another option and something to think about, whether we should be writing this single subject as narrowly as we do sometimes.
And I do agree. I mean, I do think a simple statement of a single subject is generally to be preferred, and healthcare choice may be fine. I personally, in this particular case, lean to including the word right because it's an addition to the Bill of Rights, but I don't feel strongly about it.
I might.
Mr. Caldera.
Mm-hmm. I feel strongly that the word right needs to be in there because this isn't the Bill of Rights. And the term of all persons to health care choice, I suppose you could remove that and have the right to health care choice. And I imagine most people would infer it properly, but I think for those who might not be initiated in reading this crowded ballot box, it specifies, and I think that the Bill of Rights is about individual choice. It's my preference to keep it in there.
Any further motions to amend the staff draft? Not. Is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion? Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Well, we'll give one more opportunity. Hearing none, then all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that concludes action on number 45. The time is 9:48 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the board's agenda is 2009-2010, number 38, water use for new housing. Mr. Hayes, I think you're here as a proponent. Perhaps if you will be willing to come forward, identify yourself for the record, and we'll see if the board has any questions about your measure, and if you have any general statements that you wish to make, go right ahead.
My name's Dan Hayes, a proponent of 2009-2010-38. Well, I don't know if we've got to that part, but I did have some suggested changes to the ballot title.
Okay. Are there any questions of Mr. Hayes from the board members about the measure? Mr. Carton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hayes, I have a few questions. First question I have regards subsection 3 of the measure, which allows for a 10% increase in the allowed water allotment when at least 30% of the housing growth is affordable and affordable senior housing. And I guess my first question is, when I look at these measures, I'm looking for some connectivity between the purposes of the measure, and I can see that one purpose of the measure, probably the overarching purpose, is limitation on water available for new residential housing. But it also seems to me that this is a piece of the measure that is incentivizing or encouraging affordable housing. And I just wonder, what's the connection between the limitation on water usage and allowing additional water allotment for affordable housing?
Well, generally, affordable housing would be multifamily style housing. More compacted housing that uses less water anyway. I think it benefits the society. Because right now, not a whole lot of affordable housing is being built. So not a whole lot of housing is being built anyway. It encourages something that I think it does society good, is to build some affordable, less expensive housing. So that if a city is going to follow that format, then they would get to move in additional water to do that. Not a whole lot of water either. I say 10% increase, it's clear that that is an increase in the allowed water allotment, which would be 1.1 total average of the last 10 years.
Okay, and I, aside from a real or perceived societal benefit to have more greater affordable housing stock, can you just, forgive me, but can you focus in on the relationship between affordable housing and I know you explained that it's usually multi-unit housing, but the relationship between a limitation on residential water use and a greater number of affordable residential units?
Well, in every growth limit I've ever read, say it's 1% restriction in building permits for annual growth, a 1% annual growth limit. In this case, we're using water to accomplish that purpose. There's always been an increase in the amount allowed if it was affordable housing. And again, we have a need for that, and I don't think that needs being addressed, so that's no different than restricted building by using the reuse of building permits, 1% growth with a 0.1% allowed if it's affordable housing, or the use of water for that purpose.
Okay, and I just, full disclosure, once upon a time I was on the city council, and we took up enhancing our water portfolio and how you would reduce kind of water usage, really independent, and we also adopted an affordable housing policy, and the two were never connected. But I appreciate your explanation. And subsection 4 talks about water supply entities shall retain all records, and basically will post those records on the web. What's meant by that subsection? I guess, and just to jump to the end, is my water bill going to be accessible on a website?
No, it's the I guess you could read it that way. Basically, I'm looking to show how much water is being used by the city, not everybody's personal water record. I was never asked that question.
Okay.
Just to make sure the public knows that the restrictions are being followed.
So it's more of a kind of a total data without making everyone's water bill open to public access.
Right. So people can see how much much the city's actually using.
And just to jump back to subsection 3, the affordable housing and senior housing as defined by the General Assembly, how would that impact local governments that have already defined what affordable housing is?
Well, the General Assembly could craft it that way. Obviously, Vail might have a different definition than Golden.
And would it supersede that definition in Golden? Would the General
Vail for Aspen might have a different definition of affordable housing and some other city. I'm not, you know, it's up to the General Assembly if they want to allow cities to make their own. I've tried to, there is a definition of affordable housing. I'd rather leave
that. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have one question, sorry, which is just how, what's meant by Section 5, Subsection 5, which allowing the all other Colorado cities and counties to use initiative and referendum.
What I mean that is all non-restricted city, what do you call it, counties, cities? Let's see.
Yeah, cities and counties.
Cities and counties and counties without restriction. That was a little awkward. What I mean is the cities and counties that are not restricted by this have right to immediate right to amend or adopt some type of water restrictions.
Okay, so everybody who's not listed in Section 1 can kind of do whatever they want.
They can adopt some type of water restrictions.
Okay. Okay.
And to follow up on it similarly, I think I read the minister to say that after 2016, the counties that are subject to the limitations could remove them by referendum or initiative.
Right.
Is that correct? Any other questions? If not, then let's turn to the question of single subject. Mr. Hayes, I'd like to follow up on Mr. Carton's question. I do have some potential concern about whether affordable housing here is a separate subject. I think I'm leaning towards believing that it's not a separate subject, but I want to understand that a little bit better. How would you describe the single subject of this measure?
Well, the single subject is to control the use of water, which is now not controlled except through that I think for last name, anyway, there was a bill a couple of years ago that did require that housing units or subdivisions over 50 would have to go through a process. It was that bill. Kathleen Curry. This just allows a little bit more water use if the as a need, as a state need, as an interest of the state to allow more affordable housing to be built. Otherwise, and it makes the bill easier to pass, this because the argument always is, if you restrict water, this well, all they're going to build is luxury homes with the amount of water that's used because they make more money that way. It makes it difficult to pass if you don't have some kind of a way to assure that affordable housing will be built. And, it's always been part of any type of growth limit of mine. Allow a little bit more growth if it's affordable housing, and this would allow a little bit more water for a need.
Let me explain how I'm hearing that, and it sounds like we might say that the single subject is limitations on water available for new residential housing growth. That's the caption of the section. So it's limitations on water. But the purpose is maybe to limit growth. And I'm sort of thinking of several things that you've said, that you had indicated in answer to Mr. Carton's question that there's different ways to limit growth. You could limit the number of new building permits. You could limit the availability of water. This particular proposal limits water. But it sounds like it's an alternative method of limiting growth. And so it's easier, if I understand, the connection for me may be then that affordable housing, well, I'm still going to have a little struggle probably at articulating it, but affordable housing may not have the same sprawl, or you know, if the purpose of the measure overall is to limit growth, maybe it fits under a little better. I don't know. I mean, now I'm starting to struggle. Can you help me out?
What was that? I missed those words where you said.
Oh, well, let me try again. Is it a fair statement that the purpose is to limit growth, at least along the Front Range? And the way it's achieved is through limiting available water for new residential housing. But the growth limitation, it seems to me maybe the exception or the flexibility with respect to affordable housing might be more defensible if the purpose is to limit growth as opposed to limit water. Because, part of where I'm coming from is same number of people are going to use about the same amount of water, maybe other than landscaping. But perhaps I'm wrong about that. I'm just trying to understand a little better what the connection is between affordable housing and the subject of the measure, the single.
Well, limiting of water is an indirect way of growth. For the reason is there's a lot of ways to cut amount of water used in homes. One of them, like you mentioned, is the type of landscaping. I did have something in here previously about planting dry land type grass, fescue, that kind of thing. And houses that use, we have a problem, and a lot of this is stemming from the farms that are drying out. They're seeing that they don't have enough water to grow their crops, and here's people watering their bluegrass lawns, and the water's running down along the street, and there's not enough water for them to grow crops, yet people are allowed to waste water. I think it's time we address the issue of water. Simply saying, well, you can only build so many houses. This would encourage new homes to start looking at how much water they're using, how big the yards were, and what kind of foliage they're using versus other just as pleasing landscaping that would use far less water. And there's all kinds of write books and that on how to do that. Take a look at this, and still we have a need for affordable housing, and again, to get anything like this passed, it's almost necessary to address affordable housing, because the first thing people are going to say, if you restrict water, they're only going to build luxury homes and all about affordable housing. So you have to address that need. It's part of
I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on the question of single subject? Seeing none, then further discussion by the board?
Well, I mean, I'll just say I'm not the least bit troubled by the affordable housing section causing this to have a second subject. I'm sort of perplexed why I think it is. I mean, the measure obviously attempts to tie water use and new residential housing and kind of limit both, And in doing so, it kind of makes a slight adjustment for one type of new residential building. I mean, that, to me, I don't, it's not as if, I mean, we routinely pass severance taxes that shovel money off to completely unrelated subjects under some theory that once you've raised money, you can spend it on whatever you want. To me, the fact that this makes some adjustment for one type of residential building, I don't quite understand why that's anything remotely like a second subject. I mean, the subject is putting limits on the growth of water use in certain parts of the state that are growing for residential building. It puts one limit on certain types of building and another limit on other types of building. But those aren't two subjects. Those are just slight differences in how it goes about setting those limits. I mean, to me, it would be a single subject if it said X percent growth for this type of house, X percent for this type of house, X percent for multifamily, X percent for apartment buildings. Those are all related to the same thing. So I'm not troubled by a single subject.
Mr. Carton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it seems to me that there are a number of things going on with this particular measure. One is to limit the amount of water that is used in the specified counties. Another is to direct those counties to issue building permits in accordance with those water limits. Another is to provide for additional permits if xeriscaping, kind of as an overarching term, is utilized by a local government. And then another is to allow for an increase in the water allotment if the local government can show a 30% increase, or show 30% of the new housing growth is affordable and affordable senior housing. And to me, with the xeriscape, I can see how there's kind of this connection between water usage and what's used on lawns in the summer. I can also see a connection between issuing building permits in accordance with this new limitation. Although, again, you've got a landscape out there right now where governments already have in place permit limitations on permits, limitations on water. Some have issued bonds to pay for water facilities. Some have enhanced their water supplies. Some have affordable housing policies already in place, totally unconnected with water usage. And I look at it, and I hearken back to a measure that the Supreme Court addressed and found not to have a single subject, and I think you're familiar with it, Mr. Hayes. It was number 84 in 07-08. And one phrase that jumped out from that measure was that, or from that decision was, the court found that the measure impermissibly combined unconnected subjects to serve unrelated political objectives. And so I kind of throw that out there as something that's kind of, tugged at me in looking at whether there's a single subject here and the connectivity and the connectivity between limiting water use and increasing your affordable housing stock. Because I think there's a presumption built in there that affordable housing uses less water. And I'm not sure where that comes from. But I'm not completely up to speed on the most recent data and all that on that. because I know that affordable housing can be single detached units, and there's just as many water taps for those units, and just as many, and just as much chance for the same amount of usage as there is for a 4,000 square foot house. But I guess I'm inclined at this point in time to resolve doubts in favor of the proponent, and I guess there's enough of a thread there that, as Mr. Hayes has explained, to demonstrate a single purpose, that there's not, that the affordable housing piece isn't in here. I mean, I think you're going this direction. The affordable housing piece isn't in here to get people to vote for the restriction on water usage. I think you have a problem when you've got a measure that has that type of thing. It's kind of a coiled up in the folds, basically, to get people to vote for the measure. So I guess at this time, I'd be inclined to go ahead and find a single subject and set a title, but that's where I'm at. Thank you.
And that's where I am, too. And I just to clarify, it did jump out at me when I read the measure. What does affordable housing have to do with water conservation? And that's why I brought it up. And, I was concerned, as Mr. Carton alluded to, that one of the statutory purposes of the single subject amendment is to forbid combining what the statute refers to as incongruous subjects in order to gather support by adding other measures. And actually, Mr. Hayes, it seemed like you even sort of made a statement that this would help pass the measure if there's an affordable housing component in it. And, I think that does hint at the possibility of adding something in to gain support. But I don't think it's an incongruous subject, that's all. I'm just saying I'm satisfied at this point that there is a connection, and that's the important thing. There needs to be a connection to the single subject. I don't think this is an example of log rolling or the kinds of things that the single subject requirement was designed to prohibit. So that's just why I brought it up. I just wasn't clear what the connection between affordable housing and water limitations is. So that's why I wanted to have a discussion about it. If there's no other discussion, I guess I'll go ahead and make a motion then that the board find that the measure comprises a single subject and that we proceed to set titles.
Second.
Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft, and Ms. Gomez will display it on the screen in the room. Mr. Hayes, have you had an opportunity to look at the staff draft? I think you said you had, and that you had some comments about the staff draft.
I'm pretty satisfied with it until we get to 6, and then else mentioned today, economy of words, subjecting the water growth limit to referendum in counties, cities and counties initially covered, and the beginning. It's clear enough, but the term subjecting is, to an average voter, there's something about that word, whereas you can use something like while allowing non-restricted areas the right to adopt such restrictions by initiative and referendum, and the restricted areas such right beginning 2016. It's just a suggestion.
Oh, would you go over your suggestion to avoid
starting
using...
Starting with on sentence 6, starting with subjecting, where she's got the line there. While allowing non-restricted areas the right to adopt such restrictions by initiative and referendum, and the restricted areas such right beginning in 2016. I don't know how well that fits, but something like that would make it clearer to the average voter that their areas they could go ahead and adopt if they wanted to. The other areas could adopt again, could repeal it if they wanted to, or whatever, beginning in 2016. The way it is subjecting water growth limit, initially the referendum, it almost sounds like. And I, when I initially read that, I was a little confused at first. And I know how confusing ballot titles can end up, as I found out. Extremely long, and people were just, I had hundreds of calls. And, really understood what it meant.
And it does strike me that we could be a little cleaner, a little clearer, a little simpler here. So something along the lines of your suggestion would probably make some sense to me. Is there anything else that you want to call attention to?
No, the first part's fine.
Okay. And again, I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, so I'll turn it over to the board for discussion. Possible changes to the staff draft. America.
Well, I think the proponent's suggestion to clean up the last part is a good one, if we make it work. I also think we need to fix the beginning of it in a couple of ways, but I'm not sure how you want to proceed. We can either go in order or take his suggestion first. I don't think they're dependent on each other.
Yeah. It may not matter, but I'd suggest we start with the single subject. It potentially could have an effect on what follows. And I agree with you, or somewhat here, the discussion on the previous measure. I certainly advocate a simple statement of a single subject. This has an awful lot of detail about what the measure does. If you have a suggestion, I'd be happy.
Well, I had one. I thought you, in passing, mentioned a good one earlier that I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I was gonna suggest something about just concerning a growth limit on the amount of water available for new residential housing units or something like that. My one question is whether we need to include the geographical limitation in the subject. That is definitely a very important aspect of this. I'm not sure given my comments about the last single subject, maybe that's something that's better put in the action part of the title rather than in the single subject. But that's my one question about the subject.
Mr. Carden?
Two things. I think that Mr. Domenico's suggested short kind of abbreviation or shortening of the title is a good one. And in looking at this, instead of in certain eastern slope metropolitan areas, I guess I would be fine with including in the statement of the single subject those counties impacted by name.
My reservation about that is that the entire state is actually covered by the measure. There's the initial counties, but eventually all the counties could adopt the limitations, and just as those counties that are initially subject to the restrictions can eliminate them. So I'd rather not get into that detail in the expression of a single subject.
That makes sense.
Even though I do think it's important in the trailers, in the clauses that follow, that we inform the reader about that.
So. I mean, we can't. I don't think start getting into the position where We have to put every material fact, not only in the title, but in the statement of the subject. I mean, it's just going to be impossible. If people aren't going to bother to read after the second line of the title, then I don't know what we can do. So I think I would suggest keeping the single subject as general as we can without sort of making it meaningless, and then put the material things, which may or may not include the actual names of the counties, I'm not sure one way or the other right now on that, in the rest of the title.
And how we express the single subject, there are several ways to do it, but I was just operating off of the caption of the new Section 9. I mean, it just says limitation on water available for new residential housing growth. I think that's adequate as an expression of single subject. But Mr. Domenico, you had another phrasing that.
Well, it was very similar. Mine was just taking what was in the staff draft and just deleting a few words, which left it with concerning a growth limit on the amount of water available for new residential housing. But I actually kind of like your suggestion, which is to use the caption, which I think is just a different way of saying the same thing.
And if that's satisfactory to the board, where I would go with that is, and I hate to add words, but you know, after saying concerning a limitation or limitations, I'm not sure whether it's plural, but concerning a limitation on water available for new residential housing growth, then I would say any connection there with imposing a 1% annual growth limit on the amount of water, et cetera, and put the detail there.
Right, yeah. Almost everything would have to, that's in the current single subject, would be moved into the bulk of it.
I was curious whether the term growth in the beginning of sentence 2 is really necessary. Concerning 1% annual limit on the amount of water available. I don't know that growth is applicable at that particular spot. It's an annual limit on the amount of water available. Put growth in there, and I'm not sure. It's almost like increase. The term increase. That's what growth means.
And I think, Mr. Hayes, what Mr. Hobbs is suggesting is his suggestion would remove that language. And I would, and so if I understand it correctly, it would be an amendment to the, at least the statement of the single subject would be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a limitation on water available for new residential housing growth. And I'd support that.
And that's correct. We may come back to Mr. Hayes' point possibly in the next clause, but
right.
But for the sake of moving forward, let me just go ahead and suggest that Ceci to put after the word concerning on line one. And again, I'm not sure whether it should be singular or plural, but let's say concerning a limitation on water available for new residential housing growth. And then I guess then we've got to do our and in connection there. And comma in connection there with comma. Imposing a 1% annual growth, et cetera. So we pick up again and then, but the expression of the single subject would be concerning a limitation on water available for new residential housing growth. And comma.
Comma before the and. I think we put one after. I guess we put it before and after the and.
So I guess that would be my suggestion. I'll go ahead and make that as a motion for discussion.
Second.
I just have two suggestions about that.
Go ahead.
One is that I do think we could get rid of growth there, since new residential housing encompasses the concept of growth.
Good. Let's eliminate growth.
Okay.
Part of the motion.
All right. I will. I also just wonder if we can just say a limit on what, I mean, a limitation is just a long way of saying good. Limit, isn't it?
I agree.
Is there any limit on water available? Yes, delete growth. So that it reads, concerning a limit on water available for new residential housing. Graves, do you have a comment about that?
Yeah, I still think we residential housing, certain eastern slope metropolitan areas.
It might, again,
otherwise you're saying the whole state's being restricted.
And that's what I'm saying it is, that it's about a limit on water available for new residential housing in the entire state. It starts out by just having it having the restrictions on certain counties, but after 2016, that could be extended to other counties.
And well, so that's why it could be extended to other counties immediately.
Right, but I'm just saying the subject has to embrace everything in the measure.
So then you'll leave out the initiative.
No, that'll come later. We'll still. My view is we still include that in what follows. We'll still talk about the initial counties and then the subsequent counties.
Well, that highlights something I think you alluded to but never got to, which is whether it would be better, instead of saying a limit, to say limits, to suggest that there are, it's not going to be just one blanket limit everywhere. There's not only a geographical difference, there's also difference between affordable housing and housing with certain types of landscaping and that sort of thing. I think it might be better to say limits, since it's not uniform everywhere.
I agree.
And I think new residential housing, comma, is misleading. People might think, well, I just bought a new house. Am I going to be limited on water? You need to either put growth or construction. Before, growth was not needed, but here, said available for new residential housing, either growth or construction. Otherwise, people say, well, I got a new house, and is my water going to be restricted?
Well, I think that's answered in line three and line four. I mean, those questions will arise. I mean, is it, what you know, that it really is limited to the newly constructed, privately owned residential housing units. But that comes in the next clause.
Oh, so you're leaving that.
That's, my proposal would be to leave that in. I mean, it expresses a simple single subject. And then go on to say that the major feature is that it imposes a 1% annual growth limit on the amount of water available for newly constructed, privately owned residential housing units, etc. Leave all of that in as the first major clause. So, Mr. Domenico,
I'm not troubled by that. I still want to discuss a little bit whether we need to have some hint in there about the geographical difference here. I don't think this changes the law in most of the state. All these other counties right now could pass these limits if they wanted to. As I understand Section 5, it just tries to make clear that they can do so again after this. And so to me, it doesn't change the law in every other part of the state except the listed ones, I don't think.
1%.
Well, and I do think one way it changes it, I think you're right as far as referred measures. I assume local governments could impose limits, but I don't think they could do so by initiative. I think that is something that the
measure. That's true.
That's true.
Municipality could, that's true.
County or... Well, in a home rule.
Most counties cannot do it.
That's true. That's a good point.
And
Mr. Carden.
So, just to kind of play out your thought, Mr. Domenico, are you... I guess I'll get up front here and say that the certain Eastern Slope metropolitan areas, I don't like that particular choice of words even in the trailer, but are you suggesting that on line two after residential housing specifying the counties that are immediately impacted by the 1%?
Well, I wouldn't have done that, but I know that was your original suggestion, but I was wondering if we should put something in there about that it only applies in certain, that the limits that it's placing on water available for new residential housing really are only in certain areas. But I think I'm convinced that we're better off probably leaving this single subject as it is and trying to clarify in the, I don't know what we want to call it, the body of the title, where that is.
Well, then the motion, and I think there was a second, but there were friendly amendments, but the motion is that the expression of the single subject would be concerning limits on water available for new residential housing, and in connection therewith, and then it proceeds to say imposing something. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So then let's maybe go to that next clause, the one that currently reads imposing a 1% annual growth limit in certain Eastern Slope metropolitan areas through a restriction on the allotment of building permits. Grays?
I was thinking of possibly instead of Eastern Slope metropolitan areas and Eastern Slope counties and cities and counties. I say that because it sounds like it's just a few cities. You could say countywide, even add that. Because it is a countywide.
So it is countywide. It's those named counties that we're trying to reference here. And metropolitan areas, you're concerned that it suggests that we're talking about cities.
Just a few cities. Counties are like Jefferson County, countywide. Jefferson County is not a metropolitan area. In the unincorporated.
Arapahoe.
Well, I argued with them because some states find a county as a fox like a duck, and you know that thing would apply to Jefferson County as far as I'm concerned. It's run just like a statutory town.
The possibility was mentioned of just listing the counties. How do you feel about that?
I would be for it. I'm not against it.
Okay.
I think people say, well, my county's included. County of Weld, very concerned. Weld is one of the most destructive environmental counties in the United States.
And it does seem significant to me. I'm sort of leaning in that direction because it's significant to the reader maybe that Weld is included, but Broomfield is not. Pueblo is not.
Broomfield is.
Broomfield is.
I'm sorry. Pueblo, I guess, would be the main one that somebody might think is...
And you used to assume that people are well informed, but we're finding out.
Yeah.
But includes some things are worth including.
Well, me.
Sure.
I definitely think metropolitan areas has to come out. I think I would be okay with the proponent's original suggestion of adding located in certain eastern slope counties or cities and counties. I think people can, they're concerned about which counties they could look it up, but I don't, I'm not going to argue very strongly that against listing them if that's what everybody wants to do.
Carden?
Thank you. I just, for this particular measure, if we're going to have a trailer and the measure impacts 10 counties, I would just, I think it's important to list the counties. I know it lengthens the ballot title, but I do think for the reader of the measure, that will, that's important for them. I think that accurately, to have that in there is, will be part and parcel of accurately stating and giving notice of what the measure is all about. So I would, I guess what I would support is, on line 4, if I may, Mr. Chair, strike certain eastern slope, and on line 5, strike metropolitan areas. And after metropolitan areas, insert the cities. I'll just do this for purposes of making a motion. Is that right,
I think I'm going to support it, so we might as well at least put it on the board. I'm really somewhat torn, but at this point, I think I'm going to go ahead and support listing the counties and the city and counties.
Cities and counties, or counties of Adams, comma, Arapaho, comma, after Adams, Arapaho. Okay. Oh. Broomfield, comma, Denver, comma, Douglas, comma, El Paso, comma, Jefferson, comma, Larimer, comma, and Weld.
So that's your motion?
That's my motion.
And I'll second that for discussion. Pretty detailed, and it's pretty long clause. But I guess at this point, I guess I would err on the side of having those counties there. As long as it works, and we're later going to try to distinguish between those counties and the non-restricted counties, and I'm hoping it'll still work. I guess line 10 now refers to the counties initially covered. Line 12 is the counties not initially covered. But maybe it'll still work. So then, pretty long clause. But Mr. Domenico, I'm assuming you're still good.
Yeah, I'm okay with this. I mean, I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's, I don't have a problem with it if everybody else wants it.
So that's the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. I don't think so. I mean, it is part of the cumbersome nature of it. I mean, it picks up the thought before the list begins.
Well, I think you might be able to fix that a little bit by moving that whole clause, the through building permits clause. Up to line 3 to after growth limit or well actually that wouldn't work, but you could move it to you'd have to make some other changes, I guess. That would be the only possible place.
And I'm not even I'm recanting my comment about the comma, too. I don't, because of the break, I wouldn't mind a comma.
Well, I think a comma would make it more confusing. I'm not positive that's a material provision, frankly, how you impose the limit on water. If you really want to leave it in and think it's material, you'd move it to after imposing, and there you would have to set that whole clause off through commas. If you did imposing, comma, through a restriction on the allotment of building permits, comma, a 1% annual growth limit. But I'm not positive it's material that.
Mr. Hayes, how would you feel about just dropping the through a restriction on the allotment of building permits? And let me ask you to come to the mic when you comment. Is that significant to retain? The end of line 6, the beginning of line 7, what if we were to strike the words through a restriction on the allotment of building permits?
It's not necessary.
Mr. Domenico's point is that's just a detail of how it's going to be achieved, but the important thing is the imposing the 1% annual growth limit.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm not sure I see another way a city could comply with this. Other than that, but
Mr. Craig.
And I would just say I do think it's material.
You do.
I do.
You do.
I do. So I'd be a no on that.
Okay. Is there a better placement than where it is? I'm not convinced there is.
Well, I mean, if you want, part of the problem is that the grammar doesn't quite match with the actual measure, which doesn't itself impose a restriction on the allotment of building permits. What it does is it imposes, as we say, a growth limit on the amount of water available and requires these counties to use a restriction on the allotment of building permits to comply with it. So what you might need to do is separate it actually with a semicolon and get another verb in there about requiring those local governments to comply through a restriction on the allotment of building permits or something like that.
Well, I agree with that, Mr. Domenico. It isn't actually, in effect, it may act as a restriction, but the measure doesn't directly restrict the number of building permits these cities and counties can issue. So let me put this out there. If it moves the discussion forward, I will recant my objection to striking through a restriction on the allotment of building permits in lines 6 and 7. Would that move the board forward?
But are you going to put it back in? Or can you live without it?
For discussion purposes, I would suggest we move forward without it, and then when we've buttoned everything else up, maybe we can take a minute to revisit it, or maybe that's not the best path, but I guess I would support removing it and not going through the exercise at this point of placing it somewhere else of the title. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. So I think we voted to include the county, so I guess I'll move that we strike through a restriction on the allotment of building permits.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Now that it does come up maybe in now what is line 8, when we're talking about allowing an increased allotment, and I think that's an allotment of building permits.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's actually an allotment of water in the measure, in section 3 of the measure.
Interesting. Yeah. That okay, and you're probably right. I'm just going back to subsection 1. The division shall allot building permits so that housing growth does not exceed the limitation on water. So there's language about allotting building permits.
Right, but subsection 3 says a 10% increase in the allowed water allotment shall be available. So just it's used in 2.
Is it the water allotment, or is it the building permit allotment, or is it the fact that it's there, they work together? One and the same. I guess it's not identical. A 10% increase in building permits is not the same as a 10% increase in the water. And I think you're right, Mr. Domenico.
Well, and actually, it reads much better now that whatever confusion might have been caused by that before, now gone, having gotten rid of the first use of allotment. That would have been a problem had we left that language in, at least left it in as it was. But now, I think the reader would understand allotment. I mean, we could come up with another word, I suppose, but allotment pretty clearly now refers to the water, which is accurate. Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm not 100% sure that this small increase amount for affordable housing is necessarily material, but I'm okay leaving it in there since it does have its own separate section, and I'm okay with it.
Mr. Carden?
And so, just to be clear, the board doesn't think it's necessary to insert on line 8 after allotment of water. That's clear.
As it's written now, the only thing the thing talks about is how much water is available. So I don't know that anybody would be who hadn't just gone through what we went through, talking about an allotment of building permits.
Unless they thought it referred to the housing units. But
right, but now there's nothing in there. I mean, I wouldn't really have a problem with it, but I think it's pretty, I think it's obvious. Okay. I do think we need to change the comma that's up there after permits to a semicolon. But that's, yes. Somewhere, yeah.
Consider that included in the prior motion. Well, then any other changes to the staff draft? I think we... may come down to the initiative and referendum provisions and how do we clarify or simplify that. Mr. Carton.
I guess for openers on that, I think that the language on line 9 through 11 that says subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative in counties and cities and counties initially covered by the amendment beginning 2016. I think the subjecting language there is accurate. But what I'm wondering is whether on line 11 there shouldn't be, instead of subjecting, something more in the way of authorizing or allowing counties and cities not initially covered by the amendment. That may, maybe, I guess what I'm saying is maybe we can, rather than combining the two clauses separated by commas in lines 9 through 13, the language in 9 through 11 beginning with subjecting and ending on line 11 with 2016 seems okay. And I'd be interested, of course, what Mr. Hayes thought about this as well as the board, but on line 11 saying something more to the effect of authorizing or allowing those local governments that don't have, that the limits don't apply to impose the limits, and less verbiage than that. I haven't written anything down, Mr. Chair, to suggest, however, I apologize for that.
Now that the counties and cities and counties are listed, you could say said counties and cities and counties. So you could combine a sentence by authorizing the adoption of such restrictions in all other cities and counties in Colorado and said cities and counties in 2016. I don't know if that reads quite right, but it's... thought. Start out with said counties in 2016 and all other cities and counties in Colorado. Oh, I don't know. It's just a
thought. Yeah.
Now, I guess,
Mr. Carter.
The backtrack again. The way it's written, I don't know what my fellow board members think, but where it says on line 9, subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative, it almost makes it sound as though that's mandatory. And I'm not sure that...
authorizing, I think it would sound better.
Authorizing.
Line it or not.
I'm sorry, I don't have a suggestion.
Yeah, I don't have, for the first clause there is, I don't have better language. I mean, it's pretty faithful to the measure. I agree, it sort of looks a little mandatory, but all the alternatives I can think of are probably worse. I mean, we could say providing that the water growth limit. May be subject, I just don't have a good suggestion. And I could live with lines 9 through 11.
Well, the one thing I can think of is you could say authorizing cities and counties, or said cities and counties, or the listed cities and counties, to subject the limit, the water growth limit, to initiative and referendum beginning in 2016, and authorizing all other cities and counties to adopt to something.
Such restrictions.
To adopt such restrictions by initiative and referendum immediately. It's a little confusing because you're authorizing cities and counties, the two groups of cities and counties, to do essentially the opposite. One group you're allowing them to opt in, the other group you're allowing them to opt out, and it's a little confusing. But that's just the nature of it, I think.
You'd actually go right after and weld until 2016. And then allowing adoption or option, allowing such restrictions, or such restrictions would be subject to initiative and referendum and all.
I do think to address that concern and the concern Mr. Carton raised, it could be improved by saying allowing or authorizing the listed counties, or however you want to refer to the counties, to subject the growth limit to referendum and initiative beginning in 2016 as an improvement over what's on 9 through 11. And then I think on 11 through 13 that could be improved, and similarly, it's a little harder to me though to write that part, the opt-in. Clause, I guess, is a little harder for me, but I would suggest changing at least 9 through 11, and then maybe we can.
I have a problem with trying to say authorizing or permitting. And it has to do with who is being authorized or permitted. I mean, when we say the counties or the cities and counties are authorized or permitted to do something, it kind of doesn't fit well with the right of initiative, because it's really the citizens of those counties. We're sort of authorizing the governments, I guess, to do something by referendum, but we're authorizing the citizens change matters with an initiative. So I'm having trouble with authorizing cities and counties and counties something, unless it's clear that that's not, we're not talking about the governments, we're talking about,
sorry to interrupt.
That's right.
I appreciate that concern. Couldn't you address it by saying authorizing the restrictions to be subject to referendum and initiative in those cities and counties beginning in 2016 sort of uses the passive voice a little bit to get around the question of whether it's the people or the government in those cities and counties.
So,
I think what I said was authorizing the use of authorizing initiative and referendum in those cities and counties covered by the amendment.
If he uses the noun adoption of such restrictions by allowing the adoption.
That would work for the second, for the opt-in counties.
We did all the other counties first and then said, and such cities and counties beginning in 2016 at the end.
Well, I know what I said the first time. Authorizing the water growth limit to be subject to referendum and initiative in those cities and counties beginning in 2016. And then authorizing all other cities and counties to subject to adopt, I guess, the growth limit by initiative and referendum.
Without restriction.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I think that's the most workable solution, but I'm finding myself getting more stubborn about changing it at all, because we're trying to find a way to say something different than what the measure says. We're not. It doesn't really authorize subjecting. It says the limit shall be subject. It doesn't say may be subject or authorized to be subject. I mean, it's a minor distinction, but I think we're actually trying to soften the language of the measure, even though it says shall. Just because we don't like the word subject.
The second one, well, part of the problem is the second one, the opt-in, says shall be subject. The opt-out actually says shall not be subject until 2016.
It will not be subject to being subjected to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I'm starting to think you're right.
Yeah.
That maybe it's just best to leave it. Or you could change the first part to more closely track the language and then saying. That this isn't not allowing the use of referendum and initiative in counties and cities initially covered by. But I.
Mr. Carton, while Mr. Hayes is coming to the.
Well, I guess where I...
After 2016 and authorizing the water growth limit. No, that doesn't mean.
Well, you could change the first one to not subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative until 2016. Might make more sense to switch the order if you did it that way.
Mr. Carden?
I guess my first question would be, is there, let me throw this out there. I guess that as we've talked, I wouldn't necessarily object to saying subjecting at the beginning of the clause on line 9 and subjecting at the beginning of the clause on line 11. Is there a feeling or an agreement that one of those subjectings must be something other than subjecting? And let me just play that out. I guess another, and I know There have been a number of suggestions thrown out here, and I don't mean to. I think we start from the premise that it's repeating. And I guess where I'm at is kind of where Mr. Hobbs is at. So maybe under the circumstances, it's okay here. And I think you were kind of going that
direction. Yeah, I don't disagree. I just find it confusing. And it's not necessarily because of the use of subjecting. It's just confusing to read that and say subjecting the limit in these counties beginning in 2016 and doing the exact same thing in the other counties immediately when really you're doing the opposite thing in the two sets of counties, sort of.
Well, would it make any difference if you flipped? And I don't think it would, but I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the reason, as you explained, that the second part of that is material is because it's giving a power to the rest of the state that they don't already have necessarily. The other counties and cities and their citizens are being granted some kind of power to adopt these kinds of limits immediately.
I think it's better to flip it.
Well, that was one thing I was thinking if you put that first. But
flip it, then you're saying in allowing all cities and counties to adopt such restrictions.
Because it sounds like all... Reading it that way, it sounds like the only real difference here is one group of counties gets to do the same certain things right now, and the other group of counties has to wait 5 years. But really what this means is other counties can adopt their own version of this, are being given the power to adopt their own version of this now. And the listed counties, on the other hand, are being required to comply with this for at least 5 years, and only then can they opt out. They're very different what's actually happening, but the way it's written, the only difference in the language is the year that you subject the limit to these referendum and initiative. And to me, that's what's confusing, and subjecting in both plays into that. I don't think it's the only problem, or changing it doesn't solve. To the extent that that's a problem, it doesn't. Changing subjecting, I don't, to some other verb or gerund or whatever it is, doesn't solve it.
Okay.
What you're really doing is giving the rest of the state a power to use initiative and maybe referendum in a way they can't until this is adopted. And I guess you're also giving the other counties kind of that power, but first you're sort of imposing something on them. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the problem is that's just kind of a very complicated structure, and so it's going to be hard to convey in a title.
And so, and I hope this is in furtherance of your line of thought, Mr. Domenico and Mr. Hayes. On line 9, would it make sense to, this has probably been said 3 times already, but if it has, forgive me. On line 9, saying, basically flipping it and saying, subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative in all other cities and counties and in
cities and counties and counties.
Yeah, but let me play that out. Subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative in all other counties and cities and counties not initially covered by the amendment, and in the specified cities, counties, and cities and counties beginning in 2016.
Yeah.
That, I think, says more succinctly and maybe a little more clearly. I think that conveys the same thing that the current... I think that's an improvement, I guess, over what it's saying. I don't necessarily think it solves kind of the substantive problem that you're doing two different things by subjecting the limit to a referendum and initiative, but maybe that's something we just can't solve in the title because it's just inherent in what's going on. But I think that that's an improvement over what's up there.
I'll take a run at it for discussion purposes. Okay.
Seems promising.
So what I, Ceci, strike on line 9 from strike subjecting through 2016 on line 11 and strike and. We don't leave and there, so that's correct. Strike the shaded language. And subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative after in on line 12, all other. And on line 13, strike once the amendment becomes effective. And then add and in the specified cities and counties or counties in 2016. In cities and counties. Yeah, I think it's okay. What is the city for? After specified counties and cities and counties and after counties in 2016. We have to leave once the amendment becomes effective in there. I guess I would unstrike once the amendment becomes effective. Again, just for discussion. Or immediately.
All other counties immediately.
Upon passage.
Okay, so subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative in all other counties and cities
in there.
And counties. I mean, do we need the not initially covered by this by the amendment? Is
no.
Is the all other strong enough?
No, I think that.
Okay, so the idea would be to strike the end of line 12, not initially covered by the amendment.
Strike that.
Right there. Subjecting the water growth limit to referendum and initiative in all other counties and cities once the amendment becomes effective and in this and in the specified counties and cities and counties in 2016. But I think we're at this point.
Yeah, I think you only need one or the other of those.
Subjectives.
I guess we need a semicolon before the and subjecting instead of a comma. I suggest that in line 8 we make it plural of subjecting the water growth limits. I say that for two reasons. We said limits in line 1 and the measure says limitations, plural. In both places where it talks about initiative and referendum.
One way to clear up what other cities and counties can do is to take the out on first of sentence 8, subjecting water limitations. Take the out, because the refers to the ones you've been talking about. Take the out, then that means it's projecting or just water growth limits. Take the out, then it allows for different ones.
But isn't the there because it's referring to the ones in this measure, not other ones?
Water growth limits. All other counties and cities.
And it sort of implies if these other counties and cities have their own water growth limits, it would subject those. I mean, I guess in a sense that's true, but the measure's really referring to this measure's limit. Kind of like the word the, line 8.
We need to change one more comma to a semicolon on line 7 after housing. I guess it might, I mean, we could, I guess, go back to all commas for those, would be the other option. But we do have that long list of counties and cities now with a bunch of commas, so I would probably...
I think that's right. I mean, I think you'd need a semicolon in line 6 after the end of the comma, after the end of the counties.
Yeah, and if you do that, I think you need it everywhere else too.
Yeah.
I think this is good. I just have a question about counties and cities and counties. Does anyone really think anyone would be confused if you just said cities and counties? Cities or counties? I mean, I know that technically there's a reason for that in the measure. I'm not sure in the title, though, that anyone would be surprised if Denver or Boulder, or actually if Denver, that's a city and county, was covered. To me, it just makes it kind of strange.
I agree, it's confusing. I'm concerned, if we just had cities and counties, I think then it would look like it applies to cities. I'm not happy with what we have. I might say out loud the possibility of just referring to counties, but of course technically that includes a city and county.
But you already covered, you only have two cities in province for us, and said it's subjecting water growth limits in all other counties.
You're saying there aren't any other cities and counties?
Just Denver and Broomfield.
And they're already covered.
Only two in the state covered. Clarifies things. People be confused that cities have to do it on a county-wide basis. Fine.
All right, and actually... Yeah, actually, though, if you want to allow just plain cities to do this, which is my understanding of it, right? Is your view that a city outside, say, could Grand Junction adopt this under Section 5? Or would it have to be Mesa County?
It says, number 5, water limitations as described in this section shall be subject to initiative and referendum in all other Colorado cities and counties without restriction. Two ways, I guess.
Right, so that's my question. Does that apply only to counties, like Mesa County? And cities and counties, which is, as you say, only Broomfield and Denver, meaning no other city could by itself do this?
Well, the way it reads, the cities and counties and counties.
So then that, if you read that strictly, that would mean only counties, which I guess makes sense, because if you read the rest of it, you know, you do define local government and all this other stuff. So maybe then you only, maybe then on lines 8, all other counties, all of the measures, I mean. This thing is meant to be limited to county level action. And Mr. Hobbs' suggestion works, I think.
So we could strike in the end of line H, strike and cities and counties.
Counties and leave out cities.
Yeah. So it would be in all other counties once the amendment becomes effective.
And the reason, given the language of the measure, just to be clear, the reason that's accurate is... because,
well, if the only way that that's not just a pure redundancy in section 5 is that cities and counties is a term of art that includes only things that are both a city and a county. That it's not, that if what you meant to do was say cities or counties, what it would say would be you'd need an or in there or a comma. That it doesn't, as section 5 is written, it doesn't allow just cities.
The reason that's mentioned is because you have a possibility of future cities and counties.
Which, yeah, like so it would make sense, yeah.
Aurora.
Just to be clear, section 5 only applies to counties, subsection 5.
Right.
Cities and counties.
Okay, and cities, but not cities.
So Grand Junction couldn't do it.
Find that.
So I guess what we're doing is giving effect to this subsection, or I understand, and it's on the record.
Well,
so I.
The original.
There aren't any other cities and counties. That's where we're at, right?
Yes.
It says all other cities and counties. We're taking that at face value as meaning a city and county like Broomfield or Denver. There just aren't any other cities and counties right now. It might be in 5 years. So you're leaving the door open. Okay.
And I
doubt it.
I still want to go back to Mr. Hobbs's point, which is that counties, I think, at least in the context we're writing a title for, as opposed maybe to the technical language of the measure itself, counties encompasses everything listed in lines 4 through 6. Personally, I don't see how it's material in line 4 to say cities and counties, or, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't think it changes anyone's interpretation of the measure if it just said privately owned residential housing units located in the counties of Adams, Arapahoe, Boulder, Broomfield, Denver. I don't think anyone would be confused about, well, I live in the city of Denver, so this doesn't apply here.
Or the city of Boulder or the city of Broomfield.
Right. Well, no, because cities and counties is being used as a... not to say cities or counties, it's the technical legal concept of a city and county that's unified.
I agree. I think it'd be clearer to just use counties.
That's what I think, too.
So the city of Boulder isn't subject to this measure?
It's part of the county of Boulder. So it is subject. It's a countywide measure.
In well, it's in.
And all. Read the measure. It's.
I just want to be clear on that. That Broomfield, the city of, and I know Broomfield is a city and county. And I know Denver's a city and county.
Well, here's how I understand
Boulder's
it.
Boulder's not a city and county. Boulder's a city, and there's Boulder County.
Each local government and any part of such, whether statutory or home rules, shall allot building permits.
So, as I understand it, the counties are listed as a geographical description. So everything that's in the city of Boulder is also in the county of Boulder, and therefore is subject to the limit.
Right.
Then every local government within that county has to, so the limit applies countywide, and then the cities and local governments have to comply with it.
Okay, so all of the cities within Boulder County have to comply as well.
Correct. Well, it's a countywide.
Wow. Well, I guess that's how I read the measure, but I
think that's the only way to read it. That could cause, you know, a fight, I guess, if the city of Boulder wants to issue 1.5% growth in some other part of the county. But that's not, I don't think, our problem.
The cities and counties or counties of...
Right, and the only reason cities and counties, as I understand it, is included there is because Broomfield and Denver are cities and counties.
Yeah, and my point is that the city of Boulder is a local government and the county of Boulder is a local government.
So the way I read it is if you're in the county of Boulder, the 1% growth, well, I guess there's an even bigger question is does the 1% limit apply to the as an aggregate to all 10 of those listed places, and then they have to figure out some way to divvy it up among themselves, or does it apply to each and they each get their own? It's not clear to me, but the point is if you're within those counties you only get some measure of 1% growth. Then the way that is carried out is each local government within these counties has to limit how many building permits it issues.
And all I'm saying is it might be subject to a different interpretation.
Well, again, it reads, after the listing of all the counties and cities and counties, each local government and any part of such, whether statutory or home rules, shall allot building permits such that housing growth does not exceed the limitation on water use cumulatively, for such city and county or county in the calendar year.
Right, take a place like Douglas County, where maybe there's a town called Douglas, but reading it as you suggest, it might be read, then doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a Parker and there's a Castle Rock.
Right. So, I don't think there's a way to read it that they're exempt from this.
I said my piece.
Parker and Castle Rock are both in the county of Douglas.
But believe me, each of those cities would say they are wholly sovereign.
Well.
From those counties. And so I'm done. I appreciate the.
Personally, I'm satisfied with the title.
Going back to line 4 on the screen, we introduced the list by saying located in the cities and counties or counties of. Question is, do we want to change that? Is that okay? I mean, there's counties there and there are cities and counties there.
I think it's more accurate to leave it cities and counties and counties.
I mean, I don't think it makes it, I think it just makes it odd to have it in there in a title. And I don't understand what it adds.
You know, all I would say
Denver's...
It's true to the language of the measure.
Yeah, but I don't see what it adds. No one's going to say, oh, I voted for this because it just said the county of Denver. When really, Denver's a city and county. So how was I supposed to know that it applied to Denver when it says Denver right there?
I'd support leaving it in.
You know, and it, I don't like either alternative. I think it's awkward to read cities and counties or counties. I mean, for most people, I think they really are going to stumble over that. And you know, you start out thinking, okay, this is about cities and counties or counties. So you sort of get the casual reader probably gets stuck there. You get past it,
yeah.
You know, because it lists them for you.
Now, I think it adds confusion, frankly, because it suggests that it applies in some cities and other counties, when really it's a county thing.
Well, I mean, I guess in light of that, I'm sort of leaning to just saying counties. The legal precision has to be put aside here. Just to, yeah.
Well, right. I mean, this is a title. It's not. We're not drafting a statute or a constitutional provision. We're drafting a title that's supposed to impart only things that are helpful and material to voters. I mean, you could make it a little easier to read and by just saying housing units in at Adams, etc. and Weld counties.
Well, let me suggest this just to move us forward. We've made some other changes that we have not adopted by motion, which I think all the board members agree to, but I think Mr. Carton would object to a potential change to line 4. So let me suggest we just go ahead and take a motion on the other changes that we've made and then come back to line 4. The other changes are changing those last two clauses and semicolons and so forth. I don't even remember what we changed. I'll just go ahead and move Mr. Carton. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, and this may be too early, but I think you may need to conform the language in line 9. If... Right, because it would just be in the specified counties.
Okay. Okay, so when we come back to line 4, we should come back to line 9 as well. Okay, so with respect to the changes that we've made in probably what is now line 7 through 9 or 10, I'll move those changes.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then back to line 4 as a separate issue, I guess I'll go ahead and make the motion that we strike cities and counties or, so it would read located in the counties of, so strike, yeah, right where the cursor is to the remainder of the line, strike that, so that it just refers to that list as being a list of counties. And then as Mr. Carton pointed out, I think what is now line 9 probably needs something effective in the specified counties 2016. So again, we'd strike and cities and counties. So I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Any other changes to the staff draft?
Can I just make one small suggestion that I don't know if this ameliorates Mr. Carton's concern at all, but the measure doesn't actually say anything about being located in these counties. It says for those counties. We said if you changed located in to for, the way the measure says, I don't know if that helps.
You put or hurts. Countywide after Weld.
You put, I'm sorry?
After Weld, put countywide. Put that because that would tell people that if you're in that county, then you will be subject to these restrictions.
Well, I think Mr. Domenico's suggestion kind of gets at that, but in a way that's more faithful to the language. I mean, it's
yeah, I think it's just a little bit less interpretation and more just using the language. Right, it would just replace located into for FOR, which is essentially quoting the measure.
So, I'll move that change. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other changes? For the record, I'll want to read the entire title, I think, but is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
So moved.
I'll second. So let me just read it one last time then, and of course the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause, but the title would read as follows. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning limits on water available for new residential housing, comma, in connection therewith, comma, imposing a 1% annual growth limit on the amount of water available for newly constructed, comma, privately owned residential housing units, for the counties of Adams, Arapaho, Boulder, Brookville, Denver, Douglas, El Paso, Jefferson, Larimer, and Weld, semicolon, commas between the counties there, allowing an increased allotment for affordable housing, semicolon, requiring water supply entities to keep records of water use, semicolon, and subjecting the water growth limits to referendum and initiative in all other counties once the amendment becomes effective, and in the specified counties in 2016. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on number 38, and the time is 11:41 a.m. We are in recess until 2 p.m. Thank you.